This is KSL's Religion Today, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner, on KSL News Radio.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today, the final in a three-part series about what evidences we have to help us understand where the events in the Book of Mormon exactly took place. Do we know where everything happened? No, but we have a really good idea, and we can rule things out. There's an important methodology to this, and that is, if you can find several locations that match information in the Book of Mormon, that's not very helpful because Book of Mormon locations are not in North America and in South America and in some other location like Central America. They're not in other parts of the world. They can only be in one location. And so if you have evidence that points to all of those, it's not helpful. What is helpful is if you have and can find information that pertains to just one of the many potential locations, and it doesn't apply to any of the others. Those kinds of things, that kind of evidence is very, very useful. And with that said, let's talk a little bit about some of the more interesting evidences of the Book of Mormon that I think will help us narrow things down here a little bit. One of those is that the Book of Mormon involves written records. That's what the Book of Mormon is, a written family record or a lineage record, or you might want to say it a cultural record, because over time, it wasn't just a family record, it was about large groups. You could not have that in North America. Why? Because of the 269 Native American languages north of Mexico. There are zero that had a written language. The major groups, Algonquin, Iroquois, Suian, Muskogean, Timucua, and Yuchi, none of them had written languages, zero. In Central America, there were many different written languages, as evidenced by the written glyphs on many of the buildings and temples. We also know that there were many written records. The Popol Vuh and a few others are the only remnant because many of those were destroyed by the Spaniards when they came. But if you do a little bit of searching, you'll find that there were a number of written codices that are still existent. And so we know that the Central American or Mesoamerican Native Americans had a written language. Therefore, based on the text of the Book of Mormon itself, we cannot be talking about North America. We must be talking about Central America, Mesoamerica. Here's another one that's only located in one of the two locations. Jesus appears to the Nephites. And in 3 Nephi, chapter 17, verses 7 and 9, he says, "Have ye any sick among you? Have ye any that are lame, or blind, or halt, or maimed, or leprous? Bring them hither, and I will heal them, for I have compassion upon you, and my bowels are filled with mercy." We know that no European explorer or any later colonist ever mentioned or described a single case of leprosy or a condition that could have been confused with leprosy among Native Americans on the North American continent. Jesus would never have asked the North American Native Americans if they had any leprous among them, because there were none. However, in Mesoamerica, there was leprosy known before Columbus appeared. International leprosy expert Jesus Chico stated that the indigenous population in Mexico before Columbus suffered from leprosy. This was before the arrival of Cortez. How do we know that? Because leprosy was identified by the Spanish in 1519. Confusion with other diseases was unlikely. There was already a leprosarium, which is a place, of course, where leprosy is treated. Those with it are taken care of. It was opened in Mexico City by the Spaniard conqueror, Hernan Cortes. And that happened in 1521. We know that leprosy existed in Mesoamerica. We know that Jesus spoke of it as being amongst the Nephites. We know it was not in North America. That's another point that highly favors North America as a location. Here's another major point that is often overlooked. We read about one river that is given by name in the Book of Mormon. That's the River Sidon. In Alma chapter 16, verse 6, we read about it flowing north. So it can't be the Mississippi or the Missouri River or any North American river. There's no significant North American river that flows from south to north. But listen to what Alma chapter 16, verse 6 says about the River Sidon. It says, "Behold, the Lamanites will cross the River Sidon in the south, way up." Up. Notice the word up, beyond the borders of the land of Manti. "And there you shall meet them on the east side of the River Sidon." And so we know from Alma 16:6 that when you go south, you go up, and that's where the River Sidon begins. We also read in Alma chapter 22, verse 27, that the land was divided from the land of Zarahemla by a narrow strip of wilderness, which ran from the sea east even to the sea west, through the borders of Manti, by the head of the River Sidon, which ran from east to west. So the River Sidon was up in the south, and it initially ran by its headwaters from east to west. That fits the Grijalva River in Mesoamerica. It does not fit the Mississippi River or the Missouri River or any of the other proposed locations in North America. The Grijalva River does start in the highlands in the south, and it initially runs east before running north into the Gulf of Mexico. Here is another significant one that I find fascinating. When you look at the population sizes of North America, the largest place in North America, the largest single city, had a very small number of people, relatively speaking. And it had 30 or 40,000 tops. In Mesoamerica, during Nephite times, there were upwards of 22 million people who lived there. We know that from LIDAR population estimates based on 60,000 new structures on the Yucatan Peninsula being discovered just a few years ago. This is an amazing new find. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. We're talking about Book of Mormon evidences that support one location over another, North America versus South America. If you have a question or comment about this, send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com, and I will be happy to respond. We'll be right back.
Religion Today with host Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. This is the third of three segments dealing with Book of Mormon geography. What evidence do we have from the text itself? Based on scientific, geographic, and linguistic, and other information. One of the things that people who favor the Heartland location point to are statements from Oliver Cowdery, specifically Letter 7, and also from Joseph Smith about sending missionaries to the Lamanites, indicating that would have been North America, and other similar comments. The problem with that is that they were assumptions. Joseph Smith never claimed revelation on the topic, and neither did Oliver Cowdery. I read an article some time ago, actually more of a book, that was called Joseph Knew. And it talked about Joseph Smith's comments at one point in time about the Native American Indians in North America being the Lamanites. Well, the problem with that is it sounds a little bit to me like another book I read many years ago called The Biblical Doctrine of the Trinity. When you see something like that, you kind of know that it's not true, because the Trinitarian concept is not in the Bible at all. And so you're sort of led to believe that it is, but it's not. And the similar thing is true with Joseph Smith's comments about North America. He never claimed revelation on the idea that North America was where the Native Americans, who were the remnants of the Lamanites, lived. He never claimed revelation on that topic. Neither did Oliver Cowdery. If we had that, it would be certainly part of our scriptures, or we would have had some place where revelation on that topic was claimed. And if Joseph Smith had known it was North America, he would have never made comments about other locations like Central America that he later believed were probably where the events in the Book of Mormon took place. All right, enough about that. Let's take a look at another fascinating thing. We read in Helaman chapter 3, verses 7, 9, and 11 about cement houses. It says in Helaman 3, 7, there being but little timber, the people who went forth became expert in the working of cement. They did build houses of cement. I'm unaware of, and I believe there are zero Native American Indians who built houses of cement. Most were nomadic. Those that weren't lived in small villages. However, if you go to a place called El Mirador, which is during the right location, it began in about 550 BC, and it was discovered in 1926, well after Joseph Smith's time. It's a site in southern Mexico, the very southern part of Mexico, excavated by archaeological digs from Harvard University, Brigham Young University, and Catholic University. It was found that the city was made almost entirely of ultra-high-quality cement, which has withstood the test of time even until today. It's a fascinating, fascinating archaeological site. That favors the Mesoamerican location. No cement houses in North America, many cement houses and buildings in Mesoamerica. Another fascinating comment is in the Book of Ether. It talks about in chapter 10 of Ether, in verse 6, a king who had an elaborate throne. Are there any North American natives tribes that had kings? Well, maybe if you call a chief a king. And did they have thrones? The answer would be no. But we do know that there were elaborate Olmec thrones that were made out of stone. One dates to about 2300 BC, and it is indeed called a throne. It was the location where subjects came to ask the king for favors. Another thing that favors North America is the weapons of war. In Mosiah chapter 9, verse 16, Alma chapter 2, verse 12, and Alma chapter 43, verse 20, we read about the use of scimitars as weapons of war. What is a scimitar? It is a sword that is curved, except that it looks like a hook. It almost looks like a straight sword that somebody sat on, and so there's this curved center section of it. I don't know how else to describe it if you haven't seen one. But are scimitars, or any kind of swords, used by Native Americans before Columbus? Answer, no. Were they used in Mesoamerica by any of the Native Americans? Answer, yes. We have many examples of that scimitars were used by Native Americans in Central America. Another fascinating point here is that in 3rd Nephi, I'll just give the exact reference and not set it up. In 3rd Nephi chapter 8, verse 6, we read about a great tempest. It was something like a hurricane. And it says there was terrible thunder. And it says the earth shook and divided asunder. It, frankly, sounds like a volcano or an earthquake. It could not have been just a hurricane, because we also read in the descriptions of it that you could not light anything. You could not make a fire. That sounds very much like Mount St. Helens when it went off. The ash was so thick that you could not light fires. It was difficult to even move. 3 Nephi 8, 18 through 21 says that the rocks were rent in twain and broken up. There was a thick vapor of darkness. A vapor is a substance diffused or suspended in air, especially one normally liquid or solid. A vapor of darkness, so that there could be no light, candles, torches, or fire kindled. Even with very dry wood, there could not be any at all. That's what we read about in 3 Nephi 8, 18 through 21. There were no, and still are to this day, no volcanoes. Anything that could cause a vapor of smoke or of darkness in North America. But in Mesoamerica, there are dozens of active volcanoes that have been active for hundreds and in some cases thousands of years. And so those kinds of events happen often. We also have a city that sunk into the sea, Lake Atitlan in Guatemala. It sunk about 55 feet in the sea, apparently quite suddenly, during some kind of seismic event. This was discovered and reported by National Geographic in 2014 that this had been discovered. And so we would surmise that this sunken city called Sambaja is the Lamanite city, Jerusalem, that's destroyed and is talked about in 3 Nephi chapter 9, verse 7. These to me are fascinating things that support Mesoamerica as the location where the Book of Mormon events happened. If you look at science and scholarly ideas, you will find that, generally speaking, the Olmec civilizations are the Jaredites, and the Mayan civilizations are the Nephites and Lamanites. The Olmecs live from about 2500 BC to 400 BC, and the Mayans live from about 600 BC to 950 AD, according to science. These points all indicate that Central America is the location where the Book of Mormon lands took place. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.